to Sister Donna doing everything that she's doing. And, you know, she's helping us on Wednesday nights with the kids, too, when she can. And she's just really really been trying to be a part in a lot of different places. So kudos to her. And it's just been such a blessing to us. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 11 this morning. Maybe a couple other places that we'll hit. But anyway, I want to open up in prayer and just ask God to help us out, really help me out this morning, get me back, get my mind back where it needs to be. So, dear Lord, we just want to ask that you would be with us this morning. You know everything that's going on in our hearts. You know the struggles that some people have had, the things that's been going on through the week, the sicknesses, the lack of energy, just everything, Lord. There's been so many people that's lost homes this year with the floods and with the tornadoes and just the bad weather. There's those who aren't going to be able to plant this year because of the flooding. And you know, Lord, that our country needs you, our people need you, and we just ask that you would help us to call upon your name, to understand everything that we need to do to honor and glorify your name. And I ask for just the power of your Holy Spirit this morning, that you would just give me the right words to speak. You know, I've got an outline here, Lord, to help keep me on track. But Lord, I really would just like your Spirit to grant power over the service today, and to help us to understand your word, to apply it to our life, and to be able to leave here, Lord, exalting you and desiring to serve you better than we've ever have before. And I just ask for your grace and for your mercy on us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we see a very unique, there's actually several unique individuals in here. Some of them not for the better, some of them for the better. But if you would, just read along with me just for a couple of verses, and then we'll just kind of get into this. And it says, in 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land." So a very unique passage in here where the king has been killed. If you know the story, Ahaziah was in Israel, and he was visiting his cousin who was king over Israel. And whenever he goes to visit him, there's kind of a mutiny of the land. I can't remember his name. It just slipped my mind. Jehu. I knew it started with a J. Jehu, he comes in, and he just comes in really quick, and he kills two kings at once and takes over Israel. Well, in Judah, the mother of Ahaziah, she sees an opportunity to grab some power. She takes over. Immediately she goes in and she kills all the king's seeds, all of her grandchildren. That's what she does. Can you imagine that? The grandmother, she wants power for herself, so she goes in and she kills all of her grandchildren. That's who she is. Yet there was one person, Ahaziah's sister. She knows the heart of this woman. And she does what she can. And she takes Joash, and she takes him and the nurse, probably his mother, and she hides him, probably in her room. Says, "Stay here, and I'll try to keep you safe until I can get you to a safer place." So really, she sticks her neck out for this, because the mother's not interested in the sisters. just the sons. She goes through, she kills all the sons so that she can take control over the kingdom. And she does it. For the next 6 years, she's in charge. She's ruling and she's reigning. Some of you probably never knew that there was a queen who was in charge over Judah for 6 years, did you? We kind of missed that part. She took over. And she killed all the king's seed up to that point. But then we have this one woman that until a little bit ago, I didn't even recognize her name. Jehosheba. We don't know much about her. We just knew that she knew the murder of children was wrong. And she did what she could to stop it. And she took one of them. She saved his life. Preserved the life. She recognized the danger. Preserved his life. 6 years later, this young boy at the age of 7 will become king and lead the nation of Judah into a revival. That's what she did. Preserving the life. She did what she could. She couldn't do a lot, but she did that. She recognizes the danger. Protected him the best that she could. And you know how she protected him? She took him to God's house and let him be trained up in God's ways for the next 6 years. And that's how she protected him. She allowed him to be trained according to God's standard for those years. And I just think today, as we celebrate the ladies in our life, that it sure would be nice to have more Jehoshabas in our country, in our city, even in our lives. I mean, I just want you to think about it just for a second. The first thing that she did is that she recognized the danger. You know, you can't do anything to help anyone else if you don't know that there's danger. But if you can recognize the danger, you can do something about it. You know, I can remember when we were going back to Utah during a winter month, and there's snow all over the place, and we're going up, I think it's I-15 in Utah, and we're looking out, and just the scenery is just awesome. There's petrified sand dunes out there. They discover all kinds of dinosaur fossils out there. And we pull up. We're seeing all these overlooks in these areas. But the thing is, there's about a foot of snow out there. And Joy and I, we stop, and we want to look, and we want to see. We want to read what the sign says. And to see the dunes outside of the vehicle. So we step out, but you know, there's no rails, there's no cables. You walk over there to the edge, and it is just straight down for about 1,000 feet. And we look out, and you know what we did? You're all thinking, we let all the kids out of the car, right? No. We're like, nope, you're not getting out of the car, and we locked the door. Y'all can't get out. And even us, we recognize the danger. Can you imagine? I mean, the oldest one at the time was Kaylin. I don't know, she might have been, how old were you? About 8 years ago. I can't remember. I guess about 11, 12 years old. She was the oldest. So all the rest of them, they're little. They're little guys. That sounds like a good opportunity for them to see the dunes, right? No. It's too much danger. We recognized the danger and said, no, we can't do it. Here we have Jehosheba. She recognized the danger. She knows this lady's crazy. She's Ahab's sister. She's been trained up in the ways of Jezebel. She's destructive. She's a murderer. If you met her, you would think, oh my goodness, I met Satan incarnate. That's what she is, this Hethela. The mother, that's what she's like. She's just mean. But here we have Jehosheba, who's willing to stick her neck out for somebody, recognizing the danger, because she recognized the devil's work in the life of someone else. And she's like, they're dangerous. You know, in John 10:10, the scripture I've said it so many times, talking about the devil and what he wants to do. He is the thief. He comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and to have it and to have it more abundantly, but not the devil. He wants to steal, he wants to kill and destroy. That's exactly what this queen wanted to do. She wanted all the power for herself. She didn't want anybody. And I tell you, it wasn't just about the power. Satan was totally in control of that, because he knew that through the seed of David was going to come the Savior, the Messiah of the world. And this was, he saw this as an opportunity to stamp that out. And he tried. He got all of them but one. That's really what's going on. The devil is trying to take over. And Jehoshaphat, she's not going along. She's going against the current. She's going against the government. She's going against all the powers of the land at this time and saying, I'm going to protect one. Because she recognized the danger. I tell you, moms, ladies, some of you have been school teachers. Some of you still have opportunities to stand in the gap for children. We've got to recognize the dangers in this world. And I started thinking about them all, and there's just a host of all the dangers that we could. But I tell you, when I read Proverbs chapter 6, I see the real danger. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6? Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. If the devil can get these things into our children, into people that you're associated with, he's got them. Do you realize he's got them? Because they're going to struggle to break away from this. They're not going to know how. That's why God gave us parents. That's why God has put people as mentors in our life, Sunday school teachers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, fathers. That's why God has put all those so that we can recognize these abominations and say, these are dangers. Can we recognize these dangers if we see them? The proud look. This is someone, they're only concerned with what they want and how they feel. Is that a problem in our day? Oh, yeah, it is. They want what they want. They're only concerned about how they feel. They don't care about you. My needs is what's important. You know, I get phone calls all the time. They want us to, they're asking for something from Bethany Baptist Church to help what they perceive as their problem at that time. And you know, a lot of times we help them. But the problem really isn't what they're showing. The problem is them. Because they haven't done what they've needed to do to become a successful person. The devil got into their life and they have a proud look. It's all about them. And they think that we should just, because we are God's people, that we're just supposed to give them whatever it is that they want. To take care of their need, what they perceive as their need. That's not their need. What they need is they need to get off drugs. They need to get their lives right. They need to quit going up, having so many relationships. Man, it's just perverse is what we live in. And they don't even see that as a problem because it's all about them. They have a proud look. They have a lying tongue. They want to deceive others about themselves. Man, They want somebody, that happens all the time. They want you to perceive them as something better than what they are. You think that's not true? It's all over Instagram, all over Facebook. Like I said, I've been privileged to take a couple of phone calls and have people come in here. I tell you, I know this one guy, he's killed his mama three times trying to get money from a church. Because he's lying. He's lying about what he wants me to believe about him. He thinks it's going to give him sympathy or it's going to make, or whatever. It's dangerous. But we don't see these as dangerous most of the time. We're like, you know, whatever. We just want him to go away. But that's dangerous for him. It's dangerous when we want people to think that our lives are better than what they are or whatever. And we want to post different things. You know, that's danger in our society. And we don't see it. But as moms, grandmas, aunts, uncles, if you've got any kind of recognition with some of these people, we need to help them understand that's dangerous. It's an abomination before God. They can't see it. Hands that shed innocent blood, they will not take personal responsibility. You know why 60 million babies have been aborted in our country? That's why right there we have shed innocent blood. We have told our young mothers that it's okay for you to do whatever it is you want to do with your body. It's yours. And they don't recognize the fact that it's not just your right to do whatever it is with your body. Because there's someone else in there that has a right. And you're taking away their first right, the right to life. Where's that baby's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? You're just going to take it away? Quick to shed innocent blood. May God have mercy on New York and California and all those states that want to do that. Thank God for other states that are stepping up and they're saying no to that. But then we're teaching other things that it's all right if somebody messes with you that you can attack back. When was that ever okay? And they're quick to shed innocent blood. Quick to get into a fight because somebody says a word to them. And they have no self-control. That's what this is really talking about. Those that have no self-control and their way of dealing with it is to try to shed blood. Innocent blood. Our country is full of it. Jonesboro, Arkansas is full of it. Yet each one of us is given opportunities to be a mentor to these. We just got to recognize the problems, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. They want to know, what can I get away with? They play games with other people. They like playing these roles, the mind games. That's what a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations does. Playing games with people's lives. Messing with you. Just seeing where they can put, how far they can push the envelope before you break. That's what it's all about. The devil's trying to get to you too. He's already got them. He's trying to break them. But you know, all these, we've got to recognize that them whenever the devil's getting in our little children and get it out of them. To stop it before it begins. Moms and parents and grandmas, you are the first line of defense. Just like this lady was for Joash, Jehosheba. To have that courage, to be willing to stand up against the enemy whenever they come to attack our children. To stand in the way. To be involved. To not say, no, I'm taking a back court to this one. I'm just going to sit this one out. No, if we're God's people, we're called to stand in the gap. To stand up for the innocent. And to say, no, We're not going to let it go any further. Over my dead body, is that going to happen? That's what Jehoshaphat was saying. They're not getting to you except they get through me first. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. You see, they just seek to destroy others with lies. Do you realize that in our generation, there have been so many suicides because they have an internet account, and their friends at school start telling lies about them on Facebook, on Twitter. And the people and the children are so overcome that they think there's only one way that I can handle this: suicide. How many of our politicians now, all someone has to do is just step up and just say, oh, they did something. No, no proof, not anything whatsoever. And the media will immediately just drag them through the dirt before they have anything. Hey, that's our day and time. When did this start? You think it started when they got... No, it starts when they're little. Somebody didn't recognize the danger of that person. They didn't do anything about it. They just let it run its course. I tell you, the course is still running. And now we have a nation that's being run by scoundrels. I know y'all don't like preachers getting political. I'm not trying to get political. I'm trying to get real. It starts when they're little. And we are the first line of defense. Moms, definitely. They are the ones who spend the most time with the children. We've got to recognize those dangers. He that soweth discord among the brethren. They love drama. They're busybodies. They're in everybody's business. They see somebody with a problem. Man, they feed it. Make the problem worse than what it even really is. It's probably nothing. But by the time they're done, it's the end of the world. And they fed into someone's problem. We've witnessed that on a Wednesday night here lately. You know, there's a young lady who's not coming to church here because that happened. And we didn't even realize what was going on. We didn't recognize the danger. We didn't see that one coming. We didn't know it was going to escalate like that. Discord was sown among the brethren. What do we got to do? We've got to recognize those things. You know, those are in the Bible. We got to protect. Man, mom's first line of defense. Dad, you're there too. Uncles, grandmas, all of us. We've got to see these things, and we've got to say we've got to protect. You know, if you have children in your house, you've got to discipline. If you got grandkids coming to your house, you got to discipline. You can't just let them run rampant. You got to help those parents out. They've been run ragged all day, all week long. When they come to your house, don't feed them a bunch of sugar. Get on their case. Help the parents out. You're like, oh, I'm trying to get them back for what they did to me. I get it. That's kind of funny. That's what my parents do to us. But discipline is the first thing. You know what discipline really is? Discipleship. It's discipleship. What did Jehoshaphat do? She said, I've got to make sure that Joash gets the discipline that he needs. And she took him to the best source that she knew. She made sure he was founded in the doctrines of the Bible, of the Scriptures, that he was around it. You know, don't be afraid to do what the Bible says when it comes to discipline. Proverbs 3:12, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. first step, our own children, those that have been put in our care. Make sure that we understand the dangers that the world is offering and protect them from it. How do you protect them? Discipline. God's way. God's way. How does He do it? He gives a lot of illustrations. If you need some examples, I'd be glad to talk to you on another day about some examples that you can do. Basically, you start with the lightest way available, and then if they won't listen, you escalate. You bring it up. That's what you've got to do to try to encourage. The thing is, you try to encourage them to self-control, self-discipline. You want that person to recognize their own the danger that they're in and prevent it. Without you being in there, that is what we're trying to teach them. That's the goal. Self-discipline. And that's what God does to us. He wants us to recognize that there's things in this world that we don't need to do. Self-control. Temperance. And if we won't listen to Him, well, He'll add some things to our life to get our attention, won't He? Anybody ever been disciplined by God? Sometimes you get your hand smacked. Sometimes it felt like He took you out behind the woodshed, right? My kids don't even know what that means. We hadn't had a woodshed. I remember one day we were walking through the woods and I grabbed a stick and I'm like, you know what this is? And they looked at it and I'm like, it's a switch. And they're like, what's a switch? I'm like, I'm a failure as a parent. And I just, one of them was walking by and I just took it and I just kind of tapped their leg. Oh my goodness, you thought it was the end of the world. But you know, I never had to use the switch. Because we took care of business when they were little. We used something a little bit, I guess, more modern. Did they get the rod of correction? Sometimes they did. But there was other things that we could do too. We try to use the least thing possible. Now, when I was growing up, the switch was, I understood the switch. How that thing could wrap, how one swing could wrap around and get all your legs, both sides. It was like 3D punishment. But that's, did I need it? You better believe I needed it. I was rough. But God corrects us sometimes too. And if that's what's needed, don't be afraid to do what's needed. To save your kid's life. Teach him self-control. To teach him self-discipline. Hurt his feelings for a moment so that later on he can live a life that's right. I know some people aren't going to like that. But I'm telling you, we've got a nation that's going down the tubes fast. And it's because discipline was thrown out the window when they were little. That's what's happened. Micah 2 and 10... 9 through 10, it says, the women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children you have taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart. This is not your rest because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. That's coming our way. That has come our way. A destruction is coming because the land is polluted. They're shoving so much junk down the throats of our kids, down your throats. You believe some of it too. I believe some of it. The only way to get it right is to make sure that I apply God's Word, His standard, His Scripture, to get it right. Sometimes it's so bad that you just got to leave. I've heard so many people that they've got kids in school and the school is not doing right. They're bullied all the time. But they're afraid to take that step to protect their kids. Their kids get with the wrong crowd, and they're afraid to do what's necessary to save their kid. They're like, oh, but they're, you know, I can't move them from that. When I was growing up, I moved so many times. I'm not saying it was good for me, but some of the places that I went to, I am glad, looking back, that my parents moved. I think God did it. I think He made them move to protect me. Yet, granted, my dad was a preacher. But I'm hoping that if I had started getting into trouble, he would have saw that's a problem and removed me from that situation and put me in a safe place. You see, here's the problem with our kids. We think, oh, well, we need the gospel to be represented there. The gospel's not going to be represented very well by your kids because you're sending them into a war zone. Do you realize that's where we're sending them? We're sending them into the ways of the world, operating under the beast system. It's like sending a Marine to war with no gun. How is he going to defend himself? If the war is raging, recognize the danger. Do what you know is the right thing to do to preserve their soul so they're not brainwashed. I'm not saying that our schools are like that, but I could tell you in some parts of the nation, it is absolutely like that. In fact, it really is a war zone when you send them to school. There's fights. There's brawls. If you lived in Colorado, you think you want to send your kids to school there? They've had more school shootings than I think just about anybody. Why? What's going on in Colorado? Well, I'm just saying, we have not recognized the dangers for our children. And we have not done what's necessary. You know, there's a bunch of people in California that are realizing the dangers that that state's doing, and they're leaving. There's a mass exodus out of California. You know where a lot of them are coming? Arkansas. Because we haven't lost touch with this yet. There's a lot of us that still believe in the principles of training up our children God's ways. That's what it's all about. If our schools are doing that, if they're helping us to train our children God's ways, awesome. But if they're not, you as a parent, as a guardian, need to support a way that's God's way. And we got to be brave. We've got to recognize that. And say, maybe it's not about my career. Maybe it's about my kids. And be willing to take those steps and promote and help that way of life to preserve, so people can preserve their kids. You know, one of the things I saw that we're even being a part of, you know, we're trying to get scholarships for Kaylin, and she's gotten a couple. She's done a good job. But if she went to public school, she would have just been loaded up with scholarships. All of her school would be paid for. All of her books would be paid for. But because we recognize some dangers, and we're not willing to do that, we think that we can protect her better. That's not the way for everybody. There's other ways. But Joy was strong and she was courageous a long time ago. She's like, I can do this. And I can train up my children in the way that they should go. You see, that's the thing. When we send them away, they're going to be trained up by somebody. You send them to school, they're being trained up by those people. You're not training them when they go to school. Do you understand that? Somebody's training them. It's like that if you send them to a private school. And that's fine. Are they sticking to God's principles? That's what we as Christians have got to understand. We've got to make sure our children are being trained in God's principles, not the ways of the world. Why can't they just teach math and history? Why do they have to shove other things down their throats? I don't know. Maybe it sounds like I'm on a soapbox today, but I'm talking about we've got to protect our children. This is personal to me. Because I've been in youth programs and all kinds of churches around this nation. And you know what I've seen? I've seen our kids, when they graduate high school, leave and never come back. That's happened in Jonesboro, Arkansas. So many of the kids that I knew graduated high school, never come back. Why? Because they were taught something. Somebody didn't recognize the dangers. and they were fed something else. And you think, well, I took them to church. It's not enough. You must train them up in the way that they should go. You get around any kind of kid, you train them up. You know why we push so hard on Wednesday nights? Because we want to train those kids up in the best that we can. But we only get an hour a week. And somebody else gets, I don't know, about 60 hours a week with them. And then their parents don't come to church. 1 hour a week is not enough to train a child up in the way that he or she should go. We have to recognize the dangers. The parents don't recognize the danger. I talked to one of them. This is what he said. Well, I wanted to make sure that my children get to choose how they're going to grow up, how they're going to live. When was the last time you saw a kid make a great decision for themselves? They struggle. They need a lot of guidance. I'm constantly helping to guide mine. Yeah, I want them to make a good decision. But it's kind of like going bowling whenever they're 3 and 4 years old. Yeah, you take them out there a little, see what happens when they bowl. What are they going to do? They're going to gutter every time, right? You put the rails up so they feel like they're doing good. That's what life is like, raising kids. And eventually you'll put them down and see how they do. And you know what? Some of the balls will get down there. They'll hit the gutter a whole lot. And what do? You try to teach them. You try to train them. Aren't you thankful for people like Jehoshaphat who are willing to stand up, who are willing to recognize the dangers and train those children up? 2 Timothy 3:15, here's two moms, and it says, and from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Who taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures? His mom and his grandma. That's who did it. His mom and his grandma. That's who did it. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Hey, that's what we've got to do. That's what we have to do. All the children that we get, moms, grandmas, aunts, uncles, I want you to realize this. God has placed you in a very unique situation. You have so much influence on those who are around you. Recognize that God has given you that gift. But we live in a dangerous world. And you are our first line of defense. God wants you to use that gift He's given to you to encourage those that are trying. Maybe they're not doing so good. To encourage them. Help them do better. God has given that to you. Use it for His honor, for His glory. Be willing to stand in the gap. You know you may fail. It may look like you fail, but you never know. I'm thankful for the ladies who stood in the gap for me. For my mom who took me to church, even when she didn't want to go. For those Sunday school teachers who wanted to make sure that I knew the Word. And they weren't satisfied with just glossing over the gospel. They wanted to make sure that I knew it. Hey, we need so many more of those that recognize the dangers. I'm going to protect them the best that I can. And then I'm going to put them under the influence of God's Word. And the Scripture says that when they're trained up in the way that they should go, they're not going to depart from it. When I know that they're trained up in God's holy word, I can put all that, the rest of that, on God. It's His turn. But I have a job right now to make sure that I recognize the danger and to say, I'm going to do what I can, the best that I can, however it is that I need to do it, and to be brave and to be bold. Are you going to have to stick your neck out? You better believe it. Is it going to make for some bad days? Probably. But it's not about this life. It's about the next life. Making sure that they have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Hey, God has given that to you. It's a gift. The song leader and Sister Betty, would you play for us? Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I want to thank you for Jehoshaphat and her example. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to see all the dangers in our society and help us to be more bold, to be stronger, to see that your coming is very soon and we've only got a short time until you return. And we know that only those who have called upon your name, they're the only ones who's going to go to heaven. Lord, would you help us? Help us to recognize that. Help us to live and to apply that standard to our life, to the children that we're around, to the ones who will listen, so that we can warn that generation of the judgment to come. God is the Lord in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.